You're watching Tip TV Finance with me, Jenny Hammond, and Zach Meir, and with us is Bill Blaine from Mint Partners. Bill, welcome.
Great to be here, as always.
So the era of uncertainty, that's what you wanted to talk about, so.
Well, I find it absolutely fascinating how uncertain about uncertainty we've all become. There's a very interesting index that everybody in the analyst sphere is now quoting, and that's the Global Uncertainty Political Index. And if you take a look at it, you can call it up on your Bloomberg. I can't quite remember the ticker, but it's been analysed very carefully by some financial geniuses from the largest US prime economic universities, and it has become the premier model of global uncertainty. And guess what? At the moment, it's at an all-time high. Shock, horror, panic.
But aren't investors just getting used to uncertainty and volatility?
Well, I think that's one aspect.
That's a new normal, no?
I think that's one aspect. And the way you can see that this global uncertainty index is actually of very little relevance is if you take a look at something real, you know, a real economic indicator. Let's take the VIX, the uncertainty option index, which is measures real activity in the markets. Guess what? Since the Trump election, it's actually gone down and it's actually flattened. So that index is telling us there's less fear, and this other index is telling us there's more fear. Now, why is that? Why is it we're paying so much attention to uncertainty and news and fake news, all these things just now? And I think that's worth analysing, because the uncertainty index is actually based on what the newspapers say. But we all know in the era of fake news that journalists are reading what other journalists say and plagiarising it. So it's no surprise that the concept of sameness, in other words, everyone starts... Not all journalists, not yourselves, obviously. But the concept of sameness says that if everyone starts thinking the same way, they'll all end up panicking.
We're always told not to believe what you read in the papers. This is like from the 60s and 70s and 80s.
I read it in the papers. Exactly.
So that's always been there. The fake news is an absolute, I mean, that's a total joke. The other issue is that presumably this uncertainty index has been unleashed in the wake of Donald Trump by people who don't like it.
No, it has been followed for a long time.
But it's come to the fore with Donald Trump turning up. But the beauty of this man is, well, there's no beauty there, but the irony there is that he's got rid of uncertainty. He had a manifesto. He said, we're going to build a wall, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and he's come into power and he's going to do exactly what he said he was going to do.
Well,
where's the uncertainty there?
We've got a lot of chaos there as well.
Just as soon as he takes to Twitter, @RealDonaldTrump, as soon as that tweets, you know, what company is going to be next? When is he going to demand they close a factory in Mexico or have issues with pricings of an airline?
Whatever. I think the basics from this are, forget about what is being tweeted across the Twitter sphere. Look at the real economic facts. And this is where this whole argument gets very interesting. Forget this uncertainty aspect. Forget the index is telling us how uncertain it is. Forget all the political headline worries and look at the real facts. In the last couple of months, we have seen global estimates of growth from all the respected commentators. I mean by that the IMF, national governments, and serious research and centers are all raising global growth expectations. At the same time, we're also seeing, finally, global inflation start to kick in. In the next couple of years, we expect to see a massive increase in global GDP as that takes hold. And at the moment, stock markets, who everyone is worried about stock markets having a reversal or some kind of correction, some people are even talking about the global reset button, so we have massive mean reversion back to 1987 again. It's not going to happen. We're going to see stock markets and the rest of financial markets, like commodities and stuff, start to catch up the new global reality, which is much higher than expected growth and the resurgence of inflation. Now, these aren't necessarily in the...
How did this happen? Was it did QE worked? Loan interest rates worked? How did it happen?
No, I think know my own view on that is that the last 10 years on QE has been a failed monetary experiment. But now we're changing policies completely. we're going into the era of fiscal stimulation.
The change has happened, or the improvements happened before fiscal, you know, before Trump was supposed to be.
One of the reasons we have this Trump jump is not just because we expect to see a very strong cabinet put in place, that remains a hope, but because we're also going to see reform and fiscal stimulation through infrastructure spending, but also reform of the whole tax code. These are all things that drive growth. There is a risk that the protectionism aspect and Trumpism knocks some of that back. But let's assume that the great deal maker can actually achieve something, and we do see avoidance of protectionism and a better, more ordered society or economic society. If that happens and we see the kind of growth that replaces the wasted 10 years of monetary experimentation, it's a thumbs up from me.
But so you're sure that this turnaround wasn't going to happen already?
I think we were getting to some kind of stage where we had to do something different. If you look at the last 10 years of
negative interest negative interest rates.
If you look at 10 years of monetary experimentation and the fact that the only place we saw inflation was financial assets, mainly because of the chase for yield and the fact that corporates have been borrowing so much money to buy back their own stock without building a single new factory, if we look at that and discount it and say we were bound to get to a stage where just natural human forces would result in growth, yeah, we were probably getting there. But I think we've also got to a stage where around the world, governments and some central banks have realized there has to be a change in policy is happening. It certainly happened in the US. It's happening here in the UK. There is a problem that it's not happening in Europe because Europe has so many other problems to contend with, and it's almost impossible for the Europeans to focus on anything else except for these. But I do think it's interesting that in this whole period of European trouble, you got comments from some of the Italian representatives in the ECB in the last week saying we should mutualize Italian non-performing loans across Europe. Yeah, that's really going to help the arguments develop.
Super. Bill, thank you. Bill Blaine there from Mint Partners.